get this thing because it's like a krypton factor. Framework there, how it goes on. If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn please to John chapter 5. As you know, we're looking at the series, The Healing Power of Jesus. And as we have been doing this over a number of weeks, this whole series, it has been amazing just to watch what God has been doing and what God has been saying. And apart the fact that there are testimonies of people who have been healed in different ways and in marvelous ways, God has also been speaking a lot of things. And we've got to bring all of this together over the next couple of weeks, because I think there's only another 2 weeks after tonight on this particular series, although we'll be obviously led by the Spirit into what we're going to be doing next. And as David said this morning, you know, that the concentration on the path to victory that we've been looking at, the overall theme has been, I believe in Jesus. The next part of the theme from the Apostles' Creed is that I believe in the Holy Spirit. So we're moving again with the Spirit and the path to victory, and looking at the Holy Spirit leading up to Pentecost, which is the outpouring of the Spirit. And we're hoping on the Sunday evenings that as we move again, so we'll be led by the Spirit in our series. I was saying to Jimmy and Pete outside, you know, I have a terrible tendency to say things that offend people. And it's not that I intentionally or maliciously, I just say things, I just blurt them out. And then I think, Lord, why did I say that? And I was saying to Jimmy tonight, somebody's going to be offended tonight. It's a cert. And whether it's people listening to the podcast or whether it's people here, trust me, I am not pointing at anybody. I am not accusing anybody. I am simply sharing what I am sharing. And this is part of what I was putting together during the week. And I just said, Lord, somebody's going to get offended. But sure, such is life. Anyway, let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just ask you, please, that by your grace and tender mercies, you, Lord God, would help us to hear what your Spirit is saying tonight, please. Lord, it's not about the words of Taddy Gordon. It's not about any of our words. It's the living, active, life-giving word that sets captives free. It's your word that builds people up. It's your word that tears down strongholds. It's your word, Lord God, that convicts people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, as the Spirit of God moves, Lord God, to tell people that they're sinners and they need to be saved. As it tells us, Lord God, as he tells us that through the word we can't afford to toy with sin. Lord, help us, please, to walk in obedience to your will and to hear your voice tonight and to follow your lead, please, dear Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. I said last week, and I emphasize this, I said last week that I don't believe that during his ministry, Jesus made any mistakes. And I still do not believe that Jesus makes mistakes in this day and age. And nothing in his ministry happened by chance, and nothing today in his ministry happens by chance. And his ministry takes place under the influence of the Spirit of God within the body of Christ. So if that's the case, I don't believe Jesus makes mistakes. Do you believe this? Are you absolutely certain that Jesus does not make mistakes? I'm going to ram this home a few times tonight. You see, the reason why I ask this is because we're going to look at another divine appointment, which may make us wonder why the Lord does certain things the way that he does, or why he doesn't do things the way that we think he should. So let's read in John chapter 5, and this is another one of the miracles of Jesus. In John chapter 5, says this: after this, there was a feast of the Jews, probably, you know, the tabernacles or the Passover, one of the great feasts, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, or some versions say Bethsaida and whatever, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Do you remember that I said when Jesus came across the blind people? And I know Dave, I think it was, spoke on, or Keith spoke on this. But when he came across the blind guy who was screaming out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," from the side of the road, and the disciples were saying to him, "Shut your mouth, shut your mouth." And Jesus says, "Bring him to me." And he came over to the blind man and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Here we have again a man crippled for 38 years, lying in this condition beside the pool of Bethesda. And he says to him, Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" "Well, let me think about it, Jesus. I'm not so sure." There was no way the guy was going to say that. Yet Jesus asks him specifically, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." You can't for a minute imagine the disappointment that this man must have experienced. And Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk." Then they asked him, "Well, who is this man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So look at what's happening here. In this account, during one of the great festivals, the Jewish feasts, as I said, possibly the Passover or the Tabernacles, one of the great feasts, there were three in particular where all Jews were called to the temple. At one of these, Jesus himself, to fulfill the law, is in Jerusalem and goes to the pool of Bethesda near the Sheep Gate. The writer here is very specific. Here's exactly where this pool was. And this area was commonly known as a place where sick and disabled people gathered in the hope that they might be healed or cured. This was not something unusual. This was normal. Now, I don't think for one minute that this man who was 38 years was lying at the side of some pool for 38 years like a German on a holiday camp. I think he got brought there on occasions and laid there because at some point something happened. They congregated there, all of these, and remember, there was a great multitude of sick and disabled people there. And they congregated there waiting on the moving or the stirring of the water. And we're told that an angel came down at certain times and stirred the pool, and whoever got into the water first after the stirring was made well. It all sounds suspect to me. It really sounds iffy to me. It makes me think of the Shrine of Lourdes, where thousands of Catholic pilgrims flock annually, hoping for a glimpse of the Virgin Mary or a miraculous healing. Let me tell you, I can stand up here tonight and say to you, I'm not mocking Lourdes, because there are hundreds of testimonies of people being healed there. I don't agree with it, but suspect, just like the pool of Bethesda, suspect, but something happened. And then people in the multitudes did not gather there under some sort of superstitious thing. Something had happened. There had to be testimonies that this took place. Even the wee man himself said, every time I try to get into the pool with its stern, someone gets down before me and they're healed. So it was happening for 38 years. Anyway, getting back to Bethesda. Jesus was at the pool, and we're told among the many sick and disabled pilgrims, there was a man who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and says this, and you would miss it if you just read over it. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knowing he had been in that condition a long time, who told Jesus that he had been lying in that condition for 38 years? That's something of the divinity of Jesus at work here. When he saw him among the multitude, and knowing that he had been in that condition a long time, he asked him, do you want to be made well? Imagine if he said it today. Do you want to be made well, or would you like to hang on to your DLA payment? Do you want to be made well, or do you think the dole will find out? Do you want to be made well, or, you know, you want to do a wee bit of the double? Do you want to be made well? Remember what we said, and you agreed, Jesus didn't and doesn't make mistakes. And nothing in his ministry happened by chance or happens by chance today. The man responded, explaining to Jesus that he had no one to help him into the pool when the water is stirred and others go in before him. Now, I'm certain that this man would have been carried to as close to that pool as possible. But even the people who may have carried him probably thought, oh, I can't be bothered hanging around here waiting. I'm off to my work or whatever else. And he was left with no one to help him into the pool. He was probably friendless. We just don't know. He must have felt, time after time, taken to the pool by his friends or whoever, that in the hope of healing, he was there to be healed. And yet year after year, he left disappointed. 38 years. Let me ask you, how do you feel when others are being healed or others are being touched by the power of God or others are being cured and you're still in the same condition, if not worse? How would you feel if Jesus tonight walked in here physically and selected someone from among this congregation tonight and completely healed and restored them and left and you're still in the same condition? Maybe you would feel like he was ignoring you. Remember, Jesus doesn't make mistakes, and nothing happens by chance. Jesus said to the man, rise, take up your bed and walk. And we're told that some religious leaders had asked him when they saw him carrying his sort of futon through the streets, and even in Jerusalem, parts of it today, if you're caught carrying anything, they throw stones at you. And this man was carrying his wee mattress, his wee bed through the streets. And he says, what do you think you're doing? Who told you to do that? It's the Sabbath, you're not allowed to. And he says, well, the man who healed me, there's the authority. I was healed. He told me to take up my bed and walk. And they said, well, who is this man who told you to do this? But we're told he didn't even know Jesus. Do you hear that? Here was someone healed. You see all the Christians coming to the healing services. Here was someone that didn't even know Jesus. And he healed him. Now, would you not feel left out if an unbeliever came in here tonight and the crutches and everything and walked up to the front and threw the crutches away and walked up, hallelujah, I'm healed, and walked out there still not a Christian? Would you not think to yourself, that's not fair? I've been serving Jesus for X number of years. I've been gurning to the Lord for years about this particular ailment. Why'd your man get healed? Because that's the sort of people we are. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. And when asked, who said this? I don't know. Because we know that Jesus got lost in the crowd. And later, Jesus finds the man in the temple. Now, I can read into this. When this man moved from the sheep gate there to the pool, from the pool where he was laid in the hope of being healed, and Jesus came into the multitude and said, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk," he walked straight to the temple to praise and worship God for his healing. So Jesus finds him there and said, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." Now, listen, do not get into this, that this man had sinned in some way and that's what made him crippled. That's not what Jesus is saying here, because you cannot sin no more, because we're sinners who live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world. Jesus says, be careful. Focus on God. Get your life centered on God. Don't be going down the road of the world that's full of misery and pain and suffering. So ask, why did Jesus go that day to the pool of Bethesda, where a man for 38 years had been left there? Why, among the many sick and disabled people there, did Jesus choose to heal this man? Well, there are two things that I want to remind us about, and I've already rhymed one of them off many times. Jesus doesn't make mistakes, and nothing happens by chance. There was a vast multitude in that area around the Bethesda pool. A vast multitude of sick and disabled, yet he singled out one man and he healed him. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Nothing happens by chance. Now let me ask you again, do you believe this? Right. Well then, are you suffering? Are you sick? I'm wondering, why hasn't Jesus healed me? He healed Alice of the pain in her shoulders and back, for which she was getting cortisone injections, and the pain has gone. He healed Austin a couple of weeks ago from the pain all the way down through his left side of his back and the pain in his lung. Hadn't suffered for it for a year and the pain left. He healed Jean of the pain in her back. He healed Linda. He healed different people in different ways. Julie for her stomach. Other people testifying to what God has been doing. And are you sitting saying, oh, why hasn't Jesus healed me yet? Are you coming to church week after week, year after year, being prayed for, and still your condition seems unchanged or possibly getting worse? Are you losing heart and becoming depressed or disillusioned, as if the Lord hasn't heard your cries and doesn't see you or know your condition? Jesus doesn't make mistakes. If your condition hasn't changed or is getting worse, then the Lord still has a purpose in it for you. You may not understand it now, but all will be revealed. And just like the man in this story, in the face of constant disappointment, you too must be prepared to keep hoping and praying as long as it takes until the Lord heals you. The second point that I briefly want to say tonight is this. I said it a couple of weeks ago. Ours is not to reason why. This is taken from the Tennyson's poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade. Ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to do and die. It's not our place to tell the Lord whom he can or cannot heal. That includes us. It's not our place to tell the Lord when he should or should not heal a person. We simply have to accept the Lord knows what he is doing and why he is doing it. You see, very often the Lord's ways are beyond our understanding. They can be difficult to fathom, but we have to trust that Jesus knows best. You see, trying to work out why the Lord does or does not do things, it's just beyond us, and it can lead us into unbelief and fears. And of course, the enemy comes in and says, do you think you're really saved? If you were really saved, Jesus would have heard your prayers by now, and you would be healed. And as you're limping out again, or as you're going out again with the same condition, if not worse, the enemy's in there saying, see, God doesn't really love you. If he really loved you, you would be healed. But that's a lie from the devil. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Ours is not to reason why. Ours is but to keep on doing and keep on dying. Dying to our sinful, fleshy, worldly ways and trusting in the Lord. Of course, we can ask the Lord questions like, why am I not being healed? Of course, we can break our heart on our knees in the secret place, crying to God and saying, why are you not healing me, Lord? But I'm not going to steal somebody else's blessing who has been healed. I thank you, Lord, that you have healed that person. But why not me? Until you find that peace that fills your heart and mind that says, you know what? Jesus sees you in this congregation with your problems. Jesus knows how long you have had those problems, and Jesus doesn't make mistakes, and he knows what he is going to do for you and with you. And your sickness or your problem may be one of the very tools that he needs to use to touch another person's life. Even Paul said that with the comfort that you are comforted with in your suffering, God will use you to comfort others. When death is at work in you, when you're suffering and dying inside and saying, Lord, why me? Why me? Why me? When death is at work in you, the Bible said, life is at work in others. We don't understand it, but that's what God's word says. Of course we can lay our hearts bare before the Lord as we seek him to answer us, but in the end, it's much better to commit ourselves into his loving hands, believing Jesus never makes mistakes. Listen, he did not make a mistake bringing you here tonight. He has a divine appointment with you tonight. And once again, as we take some time this evening just to wait upon the Lord, looking to the Holy Spirit to minister among us, let's trust that the Lord Jesus, who is here in the presence of his Spirit, sees us and knows our condition, and trust that he does not make mistakes with our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are in sending your Son Jesus into this world to show us what you're really like. As Dave said many years ago, Lord, if we want to know what you're like, we look to Jesus, because he is the exact image of God. He is God. And Jesus, we welcome you into this place tonight in the presence of your Spirit. And Lord, we know this isn't the pool of Bethesda, and there's no great multitude gathered here, but Lord, there's a people who know you and love you that have gathered here, and you've promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are here in our midst. And you know, Lord, we believe tonight that you do not make mistakes, and nothing happens by chance. And as we turn now, Lord, to this time to wait upon the Spirit of God again, in these brief moments, Lord God, in these minutes, may the Spirit of God move, because you see each of us. You know our condition, and you know, Lord God, the purpose you have for our lives. Help us, Lord, please, to look to you. Give us faith to believe tonight. Not for healing, not for miracles, not for any of the dynamics of the Spirit. Faith to believe, Jesus, that you are here. We ask it, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.